Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Oh, the drama. The drama just playing out before our eyes in Green Bay. The Packers are expecting Aaron Rodgers to be there in Green Bay as the Packers report to training camp today. If not today, hopefully tomorrow. They're working out some final details in his contract. But nonetheless, he has arrived in GB and is maybe enjoying some breakfast with his fiance right now as he looks over his contract. I don't quite know, but what I do know is he will be the starting quarterback for the Packers next season, and that is all but confirmed. So, again, they are likely to reach an agreement that would bring him back for the 2021 season. Adam Schefter reported yesterday that there were concessions made to get Rodgers to agree to report to camp. And here are some of the concessions really quick for you. The 2023 year in Rodgers' contract, the last one in his current deal, would be voided with no tags allowed in the future. The Packers would agree to review Rodgers' situation at the end of the season. Rodgers' contract would be adjusted with no loss of income to give the Packers more cap room right now. And mechanisms would be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and that is where we were just a few moments ago with Rob Domanski. He is our ESPN Packers reporter, and he had some interesting things to say, but one that really changed my husband here, Jordan Cornette. I'm Shea Cornette, by the way. Changed the narrative of how this thing has kind of played out in Green Bay. Take a listen to Rob.
Absolutely, and that's a great point. And that's maybe why maybe he won't come and practice right away. If he doesn't, it's probably because there's some things that need to be worked out behind the scenes to make sure that the hurt feelings are mended. You know, we'll find that out on Wednesday when they actually hit the practice field to see, you know, what he does, if anything. But there are some things that need to be repaired.
Okay, there are some things that need to be repaired. And Jordan and I were laughing, sort of, and arguing before we went to break here, because this is what I have been saying all morning long. Like, there are going to be those in the locker room that are going to be eye-rolling and saying, yet again, this has been all about Aaron Rodgers, and I'm so glad you're finally here. And Davante Adams, welcome. I'm so glad you're finally here. You guys have decided finally to commit to this team. But it's rubbed me the wrong way, the way things have gone this offseason.
And I guess what brought me along was in talking to Rob, who was very insightful and always has good intel. I started to think about, yeah, maybe there's always been some of these guys who've had issue with who Aaron Rodgers is, and maybe this is just checking the box of, here we go again with Aaron Rodgers. If that's the case, then it's much ado about nothing, because we saw what those performances still led to. An MVP season, a team on the doorstep of making a Super Bowl. But kind of when I look at the decisions that Aaron Rodgers made, one thing to be at odds with management, that happens. It's a business. Your teammates don't hold that against you.
Right.
Where they do maybe have issue is the presentation of this to the masses. And when Aaron Rodgers went and posted the Instagram story with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and everybody made the Last Dance reference, and Davante Adams also tweeted the same thing out on his, or posted the same thing on his Instagram story, it separates you from team. It separates you with the 53-man roster from the other 51. And It says, this is our plight. This is our journey this year. It shouldn't be two Chicago Bulls. It should be a team roster. And those little things subconsciously may get under a team's skin, and if under teammates' skin. And if I'm going to try to read between the lines, I might say, well, what kind of mindset is Aaron Rodgers coming in with? Is he coming in with, like, hey, I'm just here. I'm just here because I got to do this one year.
So I don't get fined.
I got my flexibility, Shay. I'm just coming into Green Bay. I'm going to let it fly. If I play good football, great. You would think he's not going to be like that, because Aaron Rodgers is a competitor. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's proved a dedication to his teammates and a love for this game and a respect for this game. But we don't know how disgruntled Aaron Rodgers is. So what if Aaron is coming back and he has alienated guys? What if he is so disgusted with management that he isn't approaching this like he has every other season? We don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to be as a person here in Green Bay, and that is very interesting.
Look, here's what I know about the workplace. When you have either an alpha male or an alpha female, it doesn't matter, and they are in a mood or they aren't feeling the vibe, it kind of brings everybody down. And
why
when
are you looking at me like that? Why are you looking at me like that?
Because there are times in our household, sometimes this person is you, where you're a bad vibe, and it's like the whole house feels it, okay? And Aaron Rodgers coming in as the quarterback, as the captain, as someone that everyone looks to for direction, advice, a vibe, whatever it may be, if he comes in kind of in this mood of annoyance and being disgruntled and exhausted with what has transpired over the past couple of months, like, that's going to be felt throughout the walls at Lambeau Field. And so while I know it is only training camp and I know there is a lot of time for this all to get worked out and for guys to get have some discussions and communicate, which seems to be the problem there in Green Bay anyways, but I digress. Like, there is time to get this figured out, but time is of the essence now. Like, they need to work through this, and it needs to happen in a quick manner because a moody Aaron Rodgers is going to get no one anywhere in Green Bay.
But when you talk about potential for having alienated guys, let's go through the top dogs on the roster, right? You got Devontae Adams. He's right in unison with the approach to this whole thing as Aaron Rodgers. He's coming back because Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. They posted the same story. They're together on this. David Bakhtiari, the left tackle, is healthy, and that's Aaron's guy. Their relationship is undeterred. They are still close. That's your left tackle. Your running back, Aaron Jones, well, he made a lot of his money because of Aaron Rodgers, and that's how he got this new contract. So you imagine he's loyal there. As for the defense, we know the sport of football. They're two separate teams anyway. Those guys aren't touching Aaron Rodgers in practice. So if they have issue, so what? And this is all speculative. They all might just be overjoyed that Aaron's back. We might be the ones in the media here trying to throw something out there that's not going on. And that is very, very possible. But if there are people that have issue, who are they? And how much of an issue can it be? It's a fair question to ask just because of some of the decisions Aaron has made in his passive-aggressive approach.
It's just funny because I feel like when you wake up to this news, it's like, okay, he's back. We're done talking about it. The contract's going to be signed. He's going to be the starting quarterback. The cryptic Instagrams, who cares? We've got it all worked out. We don't need to talk about this anymore. But then there's like layers to it, right? Like there definitely are more – there's more things to look at. How do the fans feel about it? How is the locker room going to feel? How does this affect the coach? How does this affect the GM and the owner? Like, there's a lot of different layers to this Aaron Rodgers thing because he's the quarterback, because he's the reigning MVP, and because he does have a direct impact on the success of this team moving forward. And what are you rolling your eyes about? Who cares
because
about what?
Because I'm a fan, you're a fan. You got to be self-aware. We don't matter. It doesn't matter what we feel about our favorite players. They're not worried about that. They always say with management, if you think like the fans, you're going to be out there sitting with the fans. Same pertains to the players. If you worry about the fans, eventually you're going to be sitting with the fans. I'm speaking as a fan. That's all I am now. I'm no longer an athlete. So this is not taking shots at anybody. I'm part of all of us. We are fans. It don't matter. It's not going to bug Aaron Rodgers if people aren't on his side or not. And let's go back to the reality of the situation. He's the reigning MVP. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You could argue he's the most talented player in this league, and Green Bay is highly competitive and one of the teams you consider to make the Super Bowl this year. That appeases the fans. It ultimately appeases those teammates he plays with, and it ultimately, no matter how contentious it got, appeases management. Mm-hmm. So no matter how much we want to see there might no matter how much we want to say there might be drama, maybe there is, but ultimately you got to lean on, well, what is this guy as a talent on the field? And then it comes down to, can he deliver on the field? Because if he does, all this doesn't really matter.
W's cure all. Let's just say that. The winning and good play will cure everything, and we will forget about this, and we will be laughing. Like, if they start out, like, 5-0, we'll be laughing in October that we were even talking about.
But, babe, what about his mindset? I mean, he's got to have the proper mindset to go in there and be Aaron Rodgers, and that's true. And that's the one thing that is unknown right now.
Nah, come on. All the great ones figure out a way, right? Like, they rarely have back-to-back bad games. Like, they find a way to overcome the losses.
And Michael Jordan was the comparison we're making here. Michael Jordan was disgruntled. He was a mental titan. MJ could compartmentalize anything and go in there and get it done. You're talking about the greatest athlete of all time. He could get to that level. Aaron is great. Aaron's one of the greatest ever in his sport. Can Aaron do that same thing if those feelings are still very real?
We will find out, and we will find out sooner rather than later, again, as the Packers are reporting to training camp today. Time to switch gears, though. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is brought to you by Barbasol. Barbasol Shaving Cream is available in 5 fantastic flavors to customize your close shave, whether it's the classic original or sensitive skin. There's one for every face. Find your favorite Barbasol today. Close Shave America. Close Shave Barbasol. All right. How about college football news, not just the NFL, but we're staying on the gridiron nonetheless. Oklahoma and Texas officially notified the Big 12 on Monday that they will not be renewing their grants of media rights after the expiration in 2025. That is according to a joint statement released by both schools. And so the inevitable is happening. They are jumping ship from the Big 12 to the SEC, but when? Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show is joining us right now. And Paul Feinbaum joins us on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Okay, Paul. So now that Texas and Oklahoma have made it clear they are leaving the Big 12, what is next as they try and join the SEC?
Well, what they have to do is formally ask for admittance into the SEC. I know that sounds ridiculous after everything we've been hearing for the past week, but this is all being driven by high-priced lawyers. And when that happens, the SEC presidents will meet on Thursday and act like this is the first they've heard of this, so they'll talk about it and consider it, even though this is a fait accompli. This has probably been a done deal for many, many months. And then the real problems begin. How does these two giants disengage from the Big 12 without costing themselves about $75 million apiece? Not that that would really affect either school very much, but and the Big 12 is trying to hold on for dear life, and quite frankly, that is an uphill battle.
And Paul, going to that, the grant of media rights doesn't expire until 2025, as we all know. When do you, and it would probably have to be a guesstimation here, anticipate that Texas and Oklahoma do play their first games in the SEC?
It's possible it could happen next year because this thing is going to dissolve. And listen, we've all been there before, whether it was dating in high school or working at a job where no one wants you. You don't want to be in an environment, no matter what's at stake. And it's detrimental to every side. So I think they'll find a way, and usually money is going to ameliorate the bad feelings. So it's entirely possible Texas and Oklahoma could be in the SEC a year from now, which is just mind-boggling considering where we were, Jordan, a week ago when almost nobody knew about this story other than the commissioner of the SEC and the presidents of Texas and Oklahoma.
Isn't that crazy how things can change so quickly? Talking to Paul Feinbaum right now on the Goodyear Hotline. He is the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Okay, so what does this mean for the other conferences, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12? What do they do next? Let's start with the Big 12, really, because they're going to be without two of their powerhouses in their conference.
Yeah, so you start looking at this on the chessboard, and what kind of moves do they have? One of their best moves are really to bring in someone like BYU, even though that's a stretch, or Houston. I think you're getting the memo right now. That's not going to matter. So the Big 12, I think, is going to just try to stay together, or maybe look for a merger, or just say forget about it, let everybody go find a new home, and then you start working your way across the country. Let's look at who are the best and most attractive teams out there. I was about to say products, but I'll be nice here and call them schools and teams. Notre Dame is the biggest out there, but Notre Dame does not want a conference. They have this weird marriage with the ACC where they play in every other sport but football and hockey, and they used it to their advantage last year, but they don't really want an affiliation. So who's after Notre Dame? You know what the answer is, Jordan? Nobody, because there's nobody out there that can really move the needle. And I don't want to go down a laundry list of schools and take shots. But West Virginia wants in the ACC. Oh, great! I'm sure the elite in Chapel Hill and Charlottesville really care about that. You have Cincinnati and Iowa State that would like to be in any league other than the one they're in. Okay, thanks. Does anyone really want them? So it's really a very difficult game because most of the big chips have been taken. Now, the one thing that is being floated out there would be a super merger, like the Big Ten and the Pac-12 marrying each other. And by that, I mean they would play a couple of games a year, maybe a Penn State, USC, or Michigan and Oregon. I mean, something that just, quite frankly, doesn't make a lot of sense, but they save face. And I know I live in the SEC country, and that's where I work, but the bottom line is no matter what they try to put together out there, without Notre Dame, nobody can come close or anywhere near what is going on right now in the SEC.
Yeah, and it can't be stated enough, like Paul just said. the best counterpunch is a Notre Dame to the ACC, and that's where all eyes are. Everything else is just everything else. I was listening to your show yesterday, Paul. You do such a great job. The callers are typically the highlight, but it was a fascinating conversation, as you said, what this means for Texas getting to the SEC, and I couldn't agree more. When you look at Texas and you look at OU, who joining the SEC does it mean more for?
I think Texas is really the big winner of all this, because Oklahoma didn't need this. I mean, they were dominating the Big 12. I think in the last 11 years, somebody gave me this number the other day, Texas only has the sixth best winning percentage in the Big 12. They were not able to compete anymore, and that's pretty shocking if you go deep into history. Texas used to be the biggest name around. So Texas is taking a shot. Listen, they're saying to themselves, we're not doing very well where we are. We need to expand our brand. We saw what Texas A&M did in 2012 by going to the SEC. Last year, Texas A&M was the finished number four in the country, just barely missing the playoffs. So they're going to gamble on that, and it's probably a good gamble, because last year Texas lost the best player, Jordan, in the state of Texas to Alabama. And not only that, the guy's father played for the Longhorns. They have just been unable to make it happen. So they're saying, okay, at some point in time, Nick Saban is going bye-bye. He turns 70 in Oklahoma in October in Oklahoma. And Alabama fans don't think he's ever going to retire. He'll be coaching until he's 150. But at some point, he is going to go, and that opens the door for everyone else, especially Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Paul is a Notre Dame alum, is a guy who works for the ACC Network. Clearly, I'm very invested in a future for Notre Dame and very conflicted. And a lot of the conversation comes to ultimately Notre Dame's hand will have to be forced to give away their independence because they hold it so fiercely tight. What would it take to force the hand of Notre Dame to eventually say, hey, we can't stay independent?
I don't, quite frankly, think there is anything right now, because, Jordan, you know, it's not like Notre Dame really needs the money. It's a very endowment-rich school. It has everything in the world. And I just think that if Notre Dame was ever going to make that move, it would have been after last year when, let's be honest, the ACC threw them a life raft, and they benefited mightily from it by making the playoffs. But, Notre Dame, I think it was Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner, said last week at the media days that Notre Dame cares most about two things. Being Catholic, yes, and its independence. And they seem to care more about the latter these days than the former. And, you can joke about it all you want, but, I just don't think that's going to happen. And Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director at Notre Dame, is one of the best in the country. He plays such a critical role in college football. And you talk to him, I talked to him not too long ago, and he just doesn't seem that interested in being a member of that conference when in football. And, he's got the best of both worlds. He plays basketball in that conference and everything else. And in football, Notre Dame has its own network with NBC and, quite frankly, doesn't need anything else.
Yeah, and the other part to this whole thing, when people think of these massive mergers, Paul, is it's not that easy to bring a school into your conference and just keep things moving. Can you shed a little bit of light on, what goes into bringing in a Texas and OU? For example, scheduling is a problematic thing amongst a myriad of other issues.
Scheduling is the most difficult because the SEC, for example, used to be at 10. It went to 12, and then in 2012 – it added Missouri and Texas A&M. It takes years to integrate all that, and it's complicated because if you're an athlete at Alabama, you would like to see all the different campuses at some point in your league. But if you have 16 schools, there's no way that's going to happen. So you have to figure something out. And I'm sure that's being worked on, but it just, you only have 8 conference games right now. I'm sure that will go to 9, but it's just, these super conferences don't make a lot of sense. The ACC is doing that in basketball, And Jordan, I know you work at the ACC Network, but I'm not sure on live television you could tell me all the members of that league right now, because it's convoluted, because some play basketball, some play football, and some don't do much of anything.
Paul Feinbaum, thank you so much for the insight this morning. We appreciate it.
That's going to be Paul's final words right there.
And for once, someone else is getting the last word, not you. The Paul Feinbaum Show is weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on the SEC Network and on the ESPN app. Paul, we'll talk to you later. You like that? See, I gave Paul the last word instead of you.
Paul gets that nice shot in. Some of them don't do anything. Paul, thanks for joining the show. We'll talk to you later. Come on.
All right, we're going to stay with college football here. Jordan's going to make the argument why the SEC should want to merge with the ACC. That would be good for college football. We'll let him do that next. That's KJZ on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so conference realignment is on the horizon, and in a very big way. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. My name is Shea Cornett. He is Jordan Cornett. We're filling in for the guys today and tomorrow. And tomorrow, Jay, we do have a big day in terms of the NFL, because Matt Nagy, Chicago Bears head coach, is going to join us at 8:40 a.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss that conversation. I just want to know if he's been following the Packers saga. Do you think he has?
I think the Chicago Bears have probably been monitoring that closely. I can't imagine they were celebrating when that plane touched down.
Well, we will ask Coach Nagy himself tomorrow. Let's stay in college football, though. Oklahoma and Texas officially did notify the Big 12 on Monday that they will not be renewing their grants of media rights after their expiration in 2025. That was according to a joint statement released by both schools. And so a move to the SEC at this point is now inevitable. And we don't know when that's going to come. We could find out that sooner rather than later. But nonetheless, realignment in terms of college athletics is on the horizon. And here is a joint statement to the Big 12. Providing notice to the Big 12 at this point is important in advance of the expiration of the conference's current media rights agreement. The universities intend to honor their existing grant of right agreements. However, both universities will continue to monitor the rapidly evolving collegiate athletics landscape as they consider how best to position their athletics programs for the future, end quote. And so, Jay Billis, our ESPN colleague, he covers ESPN basketball at ESPN for us. He had something interesting, and he presented this yesterday. Take a listen to Jay Billis.
If you're in this business now, you're going to have to start thinking bigger. Greg Sankey and the SEC are certainly doing that. If I were commissioner of the ACC, one thing I'd be thinking about is approaching the SEC and saying, look at all the natural rivalries we have interconference. Why don't we start thinking about a merger? Because that's what the SEC is going to become. It's going to become the NFL, a junior NFL and
that's
a junior NBA. And there's no reason why the ACC shouldn't jump in there and take advantage of those natural rivalries and markets. And if I were Jim Phillips, I'd be ringing Greg Sankey's phone saying, how about a merger?
Interesting. So he says the ACC should ask for a merger with the SEC. And look, I think the Big 12 is probably in the biggest trouble right now in terms of what they're going to do going forward, considering their two biggest schools in terms of revenue are going elsewhere and they're going to the SEC. And so looking to the ACC, what I would assume Billis is pointing at is the next biggest, best conference. I don't know. Merging with the SEC is what could be on the horizon. But I think what a lot of people, especially those who are fans of the SEC, believe is that that is the best conference now in all of college sports. Why does the ACC have an argument against that?
They have an argument against it. But going back to Jay Billis's words, is Jay is showing this is an exercise of what commissioners of power conferences need to be doing is thinking big. And that's what Jay's doing here. Thinking outside the box, thinking big. An ACC-SEC merger, you couldn't have dreamt of Jay Billis getting on TV and saying those words as recent as a week ago.
True.
But that's where we are with this move from Greg Sankey and the SEC to go get Texas and Oklahoma. But here's the thing. You don't hit the panic button if you're a commissioner of the Big Ten or the ACC. You've got great media deals and great media rights. You've got your own networks. Your monies are make your conferences and your schools are make your conference respectively, and your schools are making money. So you're good there. You don't have to have a knee-jerk reaction. You don't need to go grab a TCU. You don't need to go grab a Baylor. You need to go grab a BYU. You need to grab somebody if it works. And for the Big Ten and for the ACC, the best grab is Notre Dame. However, the Big Ten doesn't have a path there because there are exclusive language in the contract with the ACC and Notre Dame, because in every other sport but football, they're in bed together. So if Notre Dame joins the conference, it has to be the ACC. So remove the Big Ten from the conversation. So that's where the ACC lies. Now, you heard Jay Billis talk about these built-in rivalries between the ACC and the SEC, and that's interesting because there are some very strong rivalries that I think people forget about between the ACC and the SEC. You got Clemson, South Carolina. You've got Florida, Florida State.
Yeah.
You've got Georgia, Georgia Tech. You've got Kentucky, Louisville. Those are very impressive rivalries. That makes sense to bring the two together. ACC don't need to join the SEC. ACC, we got a good thing going right now. We got a great commissioner and Commissioner Jim Phillips, who's as savvy as they come, a guy who did great things at Northwestern and understands how this works. The commissioner before him, a legend, and Commissioner John Swofford propped this thing up in a proper place where we are good. We are in a good space with Notre Dame at the ACC where we've got all the other sports. Notre Dame, we gave them a home in 2020 during a crazy COVID era, and it couldn't have gone any better. Remember our first date? Do you remember our first date?
Yeah, it was a Bulls game.
What else was it?
Dinner and a Bulls game.
There was a concert involved in that.
Oh,
first
yeah, day. All for One.
We saw All for One
all
too
for one
at that Bulls
at
game.
The halftime show.
And John Paxson, who's part of that front office, hooked us up with the tickets,
and we
got a concert.
Yeah, we did.
That night ended up being pretty good for your boy. We won't get into all that, but that first impression goes a long way, Shay. So Notre Dame and the ACC. ACC had a good first date. Does that mean that Notre Dame's going to forget about how important their independence is? Absolutely not. But it's a start. So you've got that bullet in the chamber if you're the ACC saying at some point we might bring Notre Dame over. We've got a lot of history and tradition in the football side. Clemson is as dominant as they come currently. They are a dynasty right now. Mm-hmm. Florida State's on its way back up. Miami's on its way back up. We know what it means to have those two teams be good in college football. So you got that side. The ACC's basketball too. And we know what the basketball side brings. You've got North Carolina. You got Duke, Virginia, Florida State. Those are all important. Again, going back to the money being made in the ACC. You've got a network. You've got those rights. You're putting a lot of money to the tune of nearly $30 million to each school in the conference. And oh, by the way, which is also of huge importance when you talk about realignment, the schools within this conference in this ACC are elevated academically. They are elite institutions. So for all those reasons, the ACC is not the Big 12. The only person that needs to be panicking right now is the Big 12, probably the Pac-12 as well. But the Big 10's in a good spot, and the ACC is certainly in a great spot because of the leadership there and Commissioner Jim Phillips, and because the big move they need to make is probably go get Notre Dame. And if anybody's positioned to get Notre Dame, right now it's the ACC. So the last thing you can do is panic. You can't panic and add for the sake of adding. It needs to make sense, and the ACC's in a decent spot.
I just feel like, look, I went to a school in the Big Ten. I went to Indiana, and so I'm a Big Ten girl at heart. And I just feel like all this conference realignment, while it is inevitable in college sports because it's happened for years now, and it's happened multiple times, is this really good for college athletics? Is it really good to be creating these new rivalries, or, you know, changing the way a schedule is structured, or having new? And look, the sharing of power is going to happen year after year. It's going to change, right? Like, eventually Clemson's going to be dethroned in the ACC. Eventually Alabama's going to be dethroned in the SEC. Eventually Ohio State will be dethroned in the Big Ten, and so on and so forth. But when you're adding all these new teams, it just creates this different dynamic, and it creates these different rivalries. And That's fine. Mel, call me old school. And I actually don't mind change. But in terms of just keeping things consistent and keeping what we've known in that pageantry, especially in football and basketball and so on down the line, like I don't like all this.
Let me ask you this. Because people think just because it's people think just because it's sports, they play by a different set of rules. And that's not necessarily the case. Take our home. We got a lovely home in Fairfield, Connecticut. We are very lucky to have our home.
Okay.
With what's going on in the world, prices are skyrocketing with real estate. We love our home. Our child, you gave birth to him, not in the home, but while living in that home.
Okay.
So it means a great deal to us.
What are we getting at?
We're lucky enough that the value of the home may increase because of what real estate's doing in this COVID era.
And?
So if we have an opportunity to cash out and find a different home, are you going to say, but we have the nostalgia here and all this? No, you're going to be like, we can make money off of this. This could be a sound business venture. We'll figure it out in a new house because we'll have each other.
Okay.
That's what's going on here.
I might say that, but then I'm like, ugh, the cost of moving and then getting reacclimated, and it's a big pain in the butt.
So
and like, do I really want to do
you're
that?
You're so full of it. You would do that in a heartbeat. You have the opportunity to make over a whole new home, have me have no input in it, and you get to have a whole new canvas to play with. You are jumping at that. Who are you lying to right now?
Myself, maybe.
Yeah. So that's my point is with this realignment stuff, I get it. You're going to be nostalgic. You're going to yearn
for
the old
days. I'm actually not even that mad because the Big Ten is like not even in half of these conversations because it's just
staying put. You guys are in a great spot.
That's what I'm saying. So as a Big Ten alum, I'm like, okay, y'all can be merging and sending teams other places and whatever. I'm cool.
My point is I get it. I'm with you. I hated to see it. I grew up watching the Big East. And you know what ruined that old Big East?
What, Grandpa?
Football. Football and money. And when you started with this story, you go, now we shift to college football. Texas and OU leaving. Basketball's leaving. The university's leaving. Olympic sports are leaving.
But you said college football.
And that's a Freudian slip because that's all this is.
Football's on the top
of
my mind.
It's football and it's money. And money will always rule every decision. So no matter how we feel about it, if there's money to be made, especially because of what's happened in the college landscape in terms of financials, because of the hits from COVID, people are going to look to chase the dollar more so than ever. This is just the tip. This is just the start. We're just scratching the surface. Big Ten is good for now. They don't need to hit the panic button for now.
I'm just happy you didn't sing the Cash Rules Everything Around Me line today. Because normally...
The RZA, the GZA.
No!
Old Dirty Bastard, Inspector Deck, Raekwon, and Chef. You got Ghostface Killer.
Come on, stop. It's so dorky.
M-E-T-H-O-D, man.
All right, I got some news. Speaking of football, Aaron Rodgers has arrived at Lambeau Field.
This is news. He's there.
It is official. He is there. He is in the building. He is ready for training camp. I never thought we'd get here, but we have. On the day that the Packers report to training camp, Aaron Rodgers is in the building, ready to do it.
This is a sublime storyline to follow this year.
It is sublime.
Because it's not a story that's paid itself off.
No, it hasn't.
Usually you've got this offseason stuff, guy gets signed, okay, now let's get down to business. But now it's what damage has been done. What's this going to play like in front of the public eye this whole season? It's going to be fun to watch.
It will be. Guess what's going to be fun to watch? Caller Roulette, because that is next. It's your turn to weigh in after Jordan has this from Goodyear.
Every move we make pushes us forward, whether it's on the track, the court, or even on the field. Movement. It's how we make our impression on the world. It's part of who we are. When we pursue it with everything we've got, it shows us who we'll become. Every move we make, every road we choose to go down, every mile marker we pass takes us to a new place. It shows the world just how far we can go. Goodyear, more driven.
It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, it's time to play Caller Roulette. If you want to give us a call, the phone number is 888-SAY-ESPN. It's 888-729-3776. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN. We want to hear from you. We're going to play a game of Caller Roulette in just a minute. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests have joined us on the Goodyear Hotline and will join us hopefully shortly when we play Caller Roulette in the Goodyear Hotline. I'm Shea Cornett. He's Jordan Cornett. It's been fun filling in for the guys yesterday, today. We'll do it again tomorrow. And tomorrow, we will have Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy. He's going to join us at 8:40 a.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss that. We'll ask about the quarterback battle.
That's where we're starting. That's what we're doing in the middle, and that's what we're doing at the end.
What do you mean?
I'm trying to find out who the quarterback is in Chicago.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what are you trying to say? me too, I guess, even though I already know. I don't know why you're pretending like you don't. I've told you time and time again. Listen to the resident Chicagoan, will you please? All right, let's play Caller Roulette. Spin the wheel. Line one.
This is Ed.
Hi, Ed. What do you got?
Yeah, well, I wanted to I have a comment to about what Jordan was saying earlier.
Let
about how the ACC, about the ACC needs to merge with the SEC, how Florida State is on the rise, how Georgia, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Kentucky. Those are rivalries, but they're only rivalries in those particular states. Nobody outside of Kentucky watches Louisville and Kentucky play. Nobody outside of Georgia watches Georgia, Georgia Tech play. The SEC does not need the ACC. Not for football, it doesn't. Because that's what we're discussing. We're discussing football from Oklahoma and Texas coming to play in the SEC. They don't need Florida State. Florida State is not on the rise. How are they on the rise? I live here in the state of Florida where Florida State is. They're not on the rise.
Let them know, Jay.
Well, Fast Ed, let me just really make this very clear. Ain't nobody boxing me into a conversation. I didn't say the SEC needs the ACC, and I certainly would never insinuate that the ACC needs the SEC. I think both stand alone beautifully. But, yes, some rivalries are regionalized, no question. I didn't say these were national brand rivalries. I was speaking to the rivalries that Jay Billis mentioned. If it's up to me, the SEC and Greg Sankey stay doing what they're doing over there, and our guys, the ACC, and what Commissioner Jim Phillips has going on our side, we keep doing what we're doing because both are humming. But, yes, they're looking to expand, and they're thinking bigger. That was Jay Billis's proposal. I ain't mad at it. I'm just not in full support of it. So, Ed, don't get mad at me. You stay over there, we'll stay over here, and everybody will be copacetic.
Okay, and I just want to point this out in terms of speaking in only college football. Like, let's give college hoops and other sports some
late.
Love,
you
too.
I'm
going to do it. Oklahoma joining the SEC. College hoops, they've advanced to the second round of the NCAA tournament, 6 of the past 8 tournaments. Okay? These aren't some scrubs. The SEC and college hoops tied with the Pac-12 for most first-round picks in the 2020 draft with 5. Like, there are very good programs.
It's just weird that you picked that OU's gone to the second round a bunch of years. It's
just
like
letting you know.
Just pick better like standards than that. I mean, they're a great football program with pretty good basketball.
Okay, line two, please. Or spin the wheel and then give me line two. Line two.
Hey, I guess I knew it was coming on before the spin. this is Muhammad from New Jersey. I just wanted to ask a question. And also, I'm a huge Florida State fan, so I've called it before. I don't know what he's talking about, it being regionalized. But my question was, what is Florida State closer to becoming? A basketball powerhouse or becoming a football powerhouse again?
It's a good question. I like it.
That's a really good question. Florida State basketball's already arrived. Leonard Hamilton and what he's doing there. It's the new bloods is what he likes to call them instead of a blue blood, but they're really established. For football, it's going to be really interesting to see a new regime in there, obviously. Is Mackenzie Milton going to be the starting quarterback? Is it going to be Jordan Travis? A whole lot of transfers there in that rebuild that's going on with Mike Norvell. You got to be patient, and Florida State's not used to what this era has been as of late of futility. But it's a proud program. If Mackenzie Milton can look like how he did in, 2018, 2019 – then they've got a chance to surprise. And all you want to see is a program that's moving towards improvement. And once you show signs of, all right, this program has stability, it has a coach that's going to be there, let's start winning the in-state recruiting because all the talent is right there in Florida. And Mohammed, I think Florida State will be back on its way. But for right now, basketball is what they lead with. But let's be very clear, Florida State will forever be a football school with the history there.
Spin the wheel. Line five.
This is Sarah from Dallas, Texas, and I'm so excited to be on. But what I want to talk about is Texas and OU moving from the Big 12. As a Texas alum, I bleed burnt orange, and I don't want to leave the Big 12. And I want to know what you think if the SEC that's going to be meeting later will actually take us and accept us, because we can't beat Bama, because we can't even beat OU.
Okay, Sarah, first of all, she had a bit of a poor connection there, so some of it was hard to hear. But this is what I like find hilarious, and I understand what she's saying. She's like, we can't beat Bama. We can barely beat OU. Well, the Texases of old could probably beat Bama. However, when did Texas and Oklahoma become these two schools that were begging for a place to go? Like, now they're begging, like, the SEC has to let them come in. This is true.
But no, it's not true, because what you know about OU is they've been a mainstay in this college football playoff. Texas, and talk of Paul Feinbaum, we both agreed, Texas stands the most to gain here, mm-hmm. because Texas has been floundering as of late. Mm-hmm. Getting into the SEC adds the element of, oh, that's intriguing for recruits. You start to elevate your talent. They're going to take some lumps early on because it's the SEC, it's Alabama, it's LSU when they get back, and it's a load of other schools like Georgia. But when they get there and are legitimized by that SEC, then things will start to change for them. But let's be very clear. You could argue Oklahoma's been looking with a wandering eye for a while here now. Texas, we just never thought they'd do it. There was a time where we thought, were they going to move to the Pac-12? For them to get here, it's because of what these programs are. And the only way the SEC doesn't take them is if they don't want to wait around until 2025 when those media rights expire. And that is the only way. Otherwise, this is one of the biggest moves in the history of college athletics and what it's going to do to ultimately change the landscape moving forward. So the SEC and Greg Sankey are over the moon with what's going on right now.
All right, quickly, we only have time for one more. It's got to be fast. Line four, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm a big Nebraska fan, and I think it was just a mistake going to the Big Ten. I mean, they're just terrible, subpar ever since, because they cannot recruit properly in the Big Ten. Okay. Well, I just want your thoughts.
All right. Well, he makes point. He makes kind of a point. Nebraska hasn't been quite what Nebraska of old was, obviously, when they were in the Big 12. But nonetheless, I don't know that's because they joined the Big 10. I just think that their recruiting and everything else that they had going for them has fallen off a bit. Would you not agree with that?
Well, I would also say that I don't think the Big 10 loves what Nebraska's been.
No.
In terms of how outspoken they've been during this COVID era. So maybe that is a marriage that you don't immediately say has absolutely worked. But I think there's still Maryland people that are like, why are we in a Big Ten? I miss the ACC. I miss being in that blueprint. So can't please everybody.
Can't please everybody, but hopefully we pleased you today. Jordan Cornette, Shea Cornette filling in for the guys. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin here on ESPN Radio. We will be back tomorrow. Matt Nagy is going to join us at 8:40 a.m. Eastern. But for now, Greeny is next. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.